What a wonderful Lord's Day it truly is. See so many familiar faces that have returned, so many new faces that are here for the first time, whether it be a college student and their family coming from various parts of the country, or our visitors right here in our area that have come to worship and praise our God with us. It's a great day for that reason. It's a great day also that all the air conditioning units are working. Doesn't always happen, but today they are. It's good to be with you. If you enjoyed the singing as much as I did, found it to be so edifying, I know many of you are probably thinking, wow, could we not just sing for the remainder of our time this morning? Well, that is what we're going to be doing tonight. So we certainly encourage you and invite you to be with us again this evening at 5 o'clock as we're going to be worshiping and praising our God in song. For now, I ask you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And what we believe to be Paul's final letter, he writes to his young brother, so he refers to him even as his son in the faith, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. He writes to his young brother, his co-worker, for almost the last two decades, reflecting on his own background, and then Paul bringing into mind Timothy's faith. You may remember what Paul says about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. Most of your translations there will read sincere faith. Your translation may read something along the lines of unfeigned or genuine. The idea, though, is that over the last two decades, Paul was aware of the very real nature of Timothy's faith. The genuine, sincere faith that his young brother possessed. But in this passage, Paul is also mindful of the reason, or at least one of the reasons, why Timothy had such a faith. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. Paul reflects. Knowing the grandmother of Timothy, knowing the mother of Timothy, and reflecting on the genuine faith of Timothy, knows that this is in part because of the training and the teaching, the way in which his grandmother and his mother shaped the faith of Timothy. This morning, I want us to explore that for just a moment, and how it is that Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy, in fact shaped and helped Timothy develop in his faith. We'll look at a couple of passages here out of 2 Timothy, and then we'll turn back into the book of Acts and to see some other things from there. But of course, the first thing, and in fact, I'd ask you to turn to the third chapter of 2 Timothy, when our minds come to the faith of Timothy and the role that his mother and grandmother would have played, certainly the first would be the fact that they helped him to understand the Scriptures. Paul says to Timothy in verse 15 that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We understand from Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 that Timothy's mother was a Jew. She understood the law. She knew the Old Testament. And Paul is reflecting on how his mother and grandmother had helped Timothy to understand the sacred writings. But I want to pay attention to the phrase that Paul uses in this verse. I think oftentimes we look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 as just a way to get to verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17 are the passages we really know. All Scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 15 in our minds oftentimes is just a way to get there. You take what Paul says in verse 14, which seems to be about Paul's own words and the teachings that Timothy had received from Paul. He says, Timothy, you know these things you've learned. You know who you've learned them from. Paul's saying, you've learned them from me. You know these things. You also, Timothy, you know the sacred writings. You've been taught those from childhood. So we think in our minds, all right, Timothy has the words of Paul. He has the words of the Old Testament, the sacred writings, and all these things brought together are profitable for him. They are Scripture. And that is true. But you remember in verse 15, Paul didn't just say, you knew the sacred writings from childhood. He said, these sacred writings serve a purpose for you. Notice again what he says. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy's mother and grandmother didn't just read Scripture to Timothy. They didn't just say, here are the books of the Bible. Not that they would have necessarily said that anyway. Here are the books of the Old Testament, or here's the Torah, here's the law. They didn't just say, okay, make sure you memorize these things. They were in some way helping Timothy to understand that these things are what leads to salvation. And they lead to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, they probably didn't know all of that. Paul probably helped fill in some of the gaps. But they helped Timothy to understand the true purpose of Scripture. Now, you just contrast that with some of the others that Paul would rebuke for their use of the Old Testament Scriptures. Go back in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And as Paul in this passage is warning Timothy about not getting trapped in various things like discussions over genealogies and all these kinds of things, and he says about some teachers, their use of the Old Testament Scriptures. For instance, in verses 6 and 7, Paul says to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I'm sorry, that's 2 Timothy chapter 1. I asked you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. Here were teachers, teachers of the law, but they weren't using that law for anything profitable. Perhaps in your mind you're already thinking of the Jews that Jesus dealt with, and how their concepts of the law and the traditions of the elders were in fact a barrier to their faith in Christ. Even those in the churches, you understand what Paul is writing to the saints in Rome, in Romans chapter 2. And he talks about those who would boast in the law. In other words, they took the law as an end unto itself. The law was the security of their salvation. The fact that we have the law, that's what says we are the people of God. Paul says these sacred writings, they serve a purpose. These sacred writings made you wise to salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, how did Timothy's mother and grandmother help him to understand? I don't know all the ways. Perhaps when they read the Scriptures to Timothy, what they were emphasizing was the very faithfulness of God, which is the purpose of the Scriptures in the first place. All Scripture is given by inspiration, profitable for doctrine, for proof. All these things are bringing us back to who God is. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When Timothy's mother and grandmother told him the stories of the Old Testament, they were emphasizing the faithfulness of the God who called them. And perhaps they also turned their attention to the requirements of the law and why those things were necessary, that these were all responses to faith in God. That if we trust this God who delivered our ancestors out of Egypt and they refuse to obey Him, we are going to obey our God in faith. Or maybe they simply looked around the world and they said, Timothy, there's a lot of things that are wrong in this world. There's a lot of tribulation in this world. There's a lot of sin and temptation in this world. That's not what God intended for it to be. And so God is sending a deliverer. He's sending a Messiah. And then Paul comes along on that first missionary journey and he tells them about who that Messiah is. He tells them about Jesus of Nazareth. They taught Timothy the real purpose of Scripture. I'll tell you, that's a challenge for all of us, a challenge for us as parents. As we're trying to instruct our children in the ways of God, it can be sometimes that mentality of, well, you know, as long as we get them to know what the Bible says, what it is, and kind of get all this memory work in them. And as someone has said before, It shouldn't be a memory verse a day keeps the devil away. That's not necessarily what's going to happen. I always enjoy going up to freshmen and sophomores in their first year, about midway through the term, and you go up and you say, hey, how's everything going? How are your classes going? They say, well, you know, these classes are okay, but I'm really struggling with biology. Kind of say, okay, oh, really? Well, what do you want to be? You want to be a doctor? You want to be a nurse? No, I'm going to be a music teacher. Well, biology, though, is one of the prereqs that I've got to take this. I have to take this to graduate. What's it going to do for them? You know, all that studying about peptide bonds, amino acids, mitochondria, and all these kinds of things. They have to know it all. They have to know it all because they're going to be tested on it. Parents, don't worry. Kids, I'm going to encourage you right now, study for those tests, even the ones you know you're never going to use. You need to study for them anyway. Your parents are paying good, hard money for your education. Is it necessarily going to do anything for you other than I put it out on a test? Don't treat the Word of God that way. It's not simply about being able to spew out a memory verse or to list who the 12 apostles were or the judges of the Old Testament. It's about the God who's behind all those things. Study the Scripture to understand who He is and about the salvation that's available in Him and in Christ and all that's entailed in that salvation. How did Lois and Eunice help shape the faith of Timothy? They showed him the real purpose of Scripture. This is what makes us wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now I ask you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. For I think we can also infer from the life of Timothy that what Lois and Eunice would have done for Timothy in shaping his faith was to show him real sacrifice. Go to the 16th chapter. Paul is now on his second missionary journey. He's begun the second missionary journey. He's traveling through some regions that he had gone through on that first missionary journey. And it says in chapter 16 and verse 1, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. That's all the background really we have on Timothy's family, other than, again, his mother and grandmother being named in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. His mother was of Jewish background, but she was now a believer. She was a Christian. His father was a Greek. There are many who conclude that even based on the tenses of the words in this verse, that Timothy's father had passed by the time that Paul came around on this second missionary journey. There was probably some strife in that family. In fact, when you go down to the third chapter, in the third verse rather, and it says that Paul wanted this man to go with him and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews, there had probably been some strain in the family even over that matter. According to the Jews and their traditions, the children took on the religion of the mother. So in Jewish circles, Timothy would have been viewed as a Jew because his mother was a Jew. The Greeks went from the patriarchal side. A child takes on the religion of his father. There was probably some debate about that in this family. And it's clear that Timothy's father won out. Timothy was not going to be circumcised. He was not circumcised. His father was a Greek. I don't know if that led to difficulties and complications in the marriage. But I do wonder, as Lois and Eunice were seeking to teach Timothy, were there struggles, were there sacrifices that had to be made to ensure that their child, their grandchild, understood the ways of God when one in the family did not necessarily want them to know the ways of Jehovah? But even aside from that, just looking at what we know about Lystra, the area where Timothy grew up, there have been some sacrifices that they made to follow God. Go back to the 14th chapter and look at some things here when Paul first brought the gospel to this area. Go back to verse 8 in chapter 14. It says that Paul, now he's already had to flee a couple of cities because of persecution. He makes his way to Lystra. Lystra's a little bit off the beaten path. It was a Roman colony, but it's not located on one of the major highways. So a little bit off the beaten path. As he gets there and he sees a man who's sitting who had no strength in his feet. You may remember the story as Paul's preaching and he sees that this man has faith, and so Paul commands the man to stand up, and he stands up and he's able to walk. And you may remember what the inhabitants of Lystra thought of that. They see Paul, they see Barnabas, and they conclude, these are the gods that have come to walk among us. They conclude that Barnabas, who maybe looked a little older than Paul, maybe his beard was a little bit longer, that Barnabas was Zeus. And that Paul, the primary speaker, he was Hermes. And even the priest in the temple of Zeus, he brings out bulls, and they're going to make sacrifice. And you continue reading there, and you see that it's even with great difficulty that Paul and Barnabas are able to finally convince them, do not offer sacrifices to us. We are just men. Now think about that. It would have seemed that the Jewish community in Lystra was pretty small, because it didn't even mention Paul going to the synagogues there. They may not have had enough Jews in that community to have a synagogue. This is the environment you live in. A heathen, superstitious environment. You are already an outsider in that society if you're a Jew. But Timothy's mother and his grandmother, not only are they Jews, but it would seem they would say, we want to be Christians. Verses 19 and 20. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. While the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. What sacrifices did Eunice have to make after that? How difficult was it to maintain your faith in a city, in an environment which has already thought that you're a little odd, you're a little weird. And now they even think you're probably part of an illegal religion. That's probably what these Jews have done. They've come, they've said that Paul and Barnabas, they're atheists, they do not believe in the Roman gods, they're not teaching a sanctioned official religion, and that is why the inhabitants of Lystra, a Roman colony, turn against them and stone Paul. Paul leaves, he'll return and encourage these saints on his way back at the conclusion of this first missionary journey, but Eunice is still there. Timothy is still there. What sacrifices had to be made to keep their faith? Now go back to Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 3 again. And Paul is introduced again to Timothy, and he understands the good reputation that Timothy has both in Lystra and Iconium in verse 2. And it says in verse 3, Paul wanted this man to go with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Most times, when discussion of this verse comes up, it all centers around, why does Paul have this young man circumcised? I think the answer is pretty clear. His mother, from a Jewish background, she's a Jew. Timothy would have been viewed a Jew. Paul, who says of himself, to the Jews I became a Jew, even though he was one. Well, Timothy, if he's going to go preach and teach for the furtherance of the gospel's sake, not because it was anything compelled by God, but for the furtherance of the gospel, Timothy is going to make a sacrifice. He'll be circumcised so that the Jews would listen to him. And that's the emphasis I want us to think about. Without going into any details, what Timothy did here was a sacrifice. A very real, a very painful sacrifice. The discussion of this passage is not simply, why did Paul have Timothy do this? No, Timothy is willing to do this. He wills himself to make a sacrifice so that he can go and help Paul in the furtherance of the gospel. Why does Timothy do that? I believe it's because he's already seen sacrifices being made around him. If I want my children to sacrifice for the Lord one day, well, that's going to start with, have they seen me make sacrifices for the Lord? Is worshiping God only a matter of convenience? Or do we always worship regardless of the sacrifices that must be made? Being charitable, Brother Steve did such an excellent lesson this past Sunday evening about our generosity and how we need to be generous. Is charity simply a matter of, okay, I've got money in the bank, now I'm going to be generous? And even as Brother Hitt wrote in his article for this week about charity is not simply the matter of the money we give, but the time we spend with each other and the ways in which we can influence each other. Do I only do those things when it's convenient for me and I have things to spare? Or are my children going to see sacrifice? Sacrifice in my faith. Sacrifice for the God I serve. Am I shaping their faith to help them see that real sacrifice is necessary in the cause of Christ? Well, one other point, staying here in Acts chapter 16. We are simply introduced to Timothy, and we see that Paul wants Timothy to go with him. And of course, we understand that's exactly what Timothy does. Think for a moment about Lois and Eunice. I'm assuming at this point that Lois is still living. I know that Eunice was. Think about them for just a moment. Timothy, most believe, was in his late teenage years whenever Paul came through Lystra in the second missionary journey. When he follows Paul, he's in the prime of his youth. If his mother was a widow, which, again, most believe that she was, what kind of service could Timothy have provided to her had he stayed in Lystra? He could have done many things for his mother and his grandmother. I don't know that there was much money to send back home as he's on this missionary journey with Paul. I don't know if there's any money to send back home to his mother and his grandmother. I believe that there was probably a go-ahead on their part. Timothy, Paul wants you to go with him, you go. And what they're doing in that is they're entrusting their son to someone who can help further his faith. Another mentor who's going to be able to help him grow. And we certainly understand and we know from the life of Timothy that he did in fact grow throughout his time with Paul. We have many parents here today who are dropping off their children. Some, this is old hat to you. You've dropped off several kids, and you may even have a few more to drop off in the future. Some, this is a brand new experience for you. Let me just tell you, my experience over the last 4.5 years here at university, we have kids that come here who have a right approach to Scripture. You've done a good job. They come here not just wanting to know the facts of the Bible, they want to know how this word helps them grow in faith in God. Always been very impressed with their desire to truly understand the Scriptures for what they are. You have children that come here and are willing to make sacrifices. Now, sometimes a little talking has to go into that, a little discussion, but help see what sacrifices need to be made, and sacrifices are made. I think you're doing a good job there. And now you're entrusting your children, whether it be here at university or someplace else, to other mentors. You've got those here, I know, who are going to try and help your children. Our shepherds, we have 9 shepherds. Shepherds, would you just stand for a second? I just want all of our parents who are here, if you have any questions about the congregation here, go up to one of these men, ask them about the congregation here. One of our shepherds is not here, Brother Steve Patton is not here. He is, as we've already mentioned, in Ethiopia. We have Brother Buddy Clark, Brother Tommy Matthews, Brother Bob Owen, Brother Charlie King, Brother Eric Sanders, Brother Mike Quick, Brother Mike Schmid, and Brother John Sheehan. They're going to minister to your children. If they become a part of this flock, they become a part of the flock. These shepherds are responsible for their souls. You've got evangelists. Thank you, brethren. You've got evangelists and teachers here. Again, Brother Steve is not with us. Brother Taylor, many of you were already in his Bible class this morning, and a host of other teachers. We're going to try and help your children understand better the Word of God. We've got 20-some-odd deacons and a host of members who are going to try to bring your children into their lives and into the work that they are doing to help your children grow in their faith. Parents, I've already told your children this, but I'm going to tell you this as well. It doesn't have to be at university. It does not have to be. There are many fine congregations of the Lord's people here in Tampa. Many. Your children do not have to place membership here to be a part of this family. They need to be a part of a family somewhere. I'm going to encourage you to encourage them to do that. Don't let it come mid-October, early November, and your children still are just kind of floating around. They need to go. They need to visit. They need to see what all these different congregations are about. They need to be part of a family soon. They need to be under the guidance and the leadership of shepherds. They need to have members that are looking after them. They need to be engaged in the work of a congregation. So encourage that. Help them even make that decision. Just a word to the congregation here. We're not Paul. None of us are Paul. But God has certainly given us an opportunity. One of the unique features of this work. It's wonderful to see the numbers of college students that come in. The singing's so great, and we see all these new faces and so much enthusiasm. All that is wonderful. Each student represents an opportunity that God has given this congregation to help shape, to help mold their faith further, to help them grow, to stretch their boundaries, to do more and more in the cause of Christ. That's the opportunity we have in front of us. Lois and Eunice helped Timothy to understand the Scriptures, even from his youth. The Scriptures make one wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Our faith has an object. An object is our God. A God who has proven himself to be faithful throughout time. A God who is always going to be faithful. So we end this morning, as we are looking at our faith, let's continue to shape that faith. Let's continue to build our trust in our God. And if our trust in our God grows more and more, then our response to Him should grow more and more. It may even be that there are those here this morning who your trust in God has finally reached the point where you're ready to surrender yourself to Him. You realize the way in which you have lived has not been right in the eyes of God. You're ready to make a change to live according to His ways now. But you understand that you need forgiveness. Well, your God is faithful to forgive. The Lamb of God, which Brother Micah spoke about this morning, the sacrifice has been made. The blood of Christ has been shed. You can have your sins forgiven today. Put your faith in Him. Respond to Him. Repent of your wrongs. Believe in Jesus as the Christ. Be baptized to have your sins washed away. If we can aid you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?